Blog Talk Radio.
Sweet love, right in the nick of time, we found love.
Tonight, and we're going to special on Dr. King. I want you to keep moving and keep grooving and stick right here with you. Don't you dare go nowhere. We're going to hear from Marvin Gaye on this one. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And this, the days that he talked about, the difficult days ahead. Are we living in the time of Dr. King and the difficult days he said would come? Are those days here? And is the EIDS, that means early onset death syndrome, did that hit Dr. King? Did it hit Dr. Khalid? Did it hit Dr. Malcolm X? Is early death syndrome, is it disproportionately affecting we the people we call us, us against them, the melanated, non-melanated? Are we disproportionately affected with our entertainment community, our sports figure, with our political heroes, our political heroes? Are we dying at a rate disproportionately to others that are entertainers, sports figures, politicians? Let's talk about it tonight. We got live across the nation. And if you haven't spoken, go ahead and put your hands back up. I saw some putting their hands up and putting their hands down. Now, just press 1 on your receiver, on your sender, on your smartphone. Some came in on smartphone tonight, and we're happy to have you. Some came in on dumb phone. We're happy to have you as well. Some came on no phone. They flew in through the desktop, the laptop, by whatever means you got in here. Some came on the Android, and I can see those three sitting in the corner together are on the paranoid phone tonight. But you could have went to a tennis match. You could have went golfing. You could have went to your nephew's bar mitzvah. But why all of you decided to come in here to Black Power Radio, and we're so damn glad that you did, and we hope that you're happy with yourself for coming here tonight to Black Power Radio to share an evening with Dr. King and some things on Dr. Khalid and Malcolm. And will you meet us now? Are the blacktivists, because Howard University invented a word called blacktivism, blacktivism, meaning a black activist. Are the black activists, are the blacktivists demanding too much of you at this hour? And are you, and can you beat me to Harlem? Are you willing to take up the challenge tonight? We had an outstanding program in Brooklyn, and all of them are going to be here. They're already online, and we're hot tonight. So we got to drive it like it's hot. I'm standing for my time, taking you in the order that you came tonight. All of my hosts are here, and so we're going to rock it and drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot, and then again, we're going to drop it like it's hot. We'll talk to Ty right over in South Carolina. Our state chairman is online. He's going to talk about him some Dr. Martin Luther King, Life and Times of a King with No Throne. Talk black to us, Brother Ty Nitty, right there in South Carolina. Black Power?
How y'all doing, Black Power? I'm on the first hit on this right
doing
here. I lost
great, Black Power.
My cousin,
Black
Denny, he went number about 39, you know, instant death syndrome, you know, like you say, it disproportionately affects us. Great father, you know, good friend, good cousin, good uncle. And he passed away, and nobody knows what happened to him. So, you know, we're going to wait on the autopsy results to see exactly what went on. So until then, we won't know. Maybe then after we get the autopsy results, still might not know what really happened. But, you know, it's just another victim, another black young victim, you know what I mean? But anyway, beautiful day. It's Dr. King's birthday. That's what we're celebrating. So just remember to show love to your people, you know. Show love to one another.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Show that
love.
Thank
you, beloved. And the good book says that black power, that the greatest gift you can give is love at 510. The greatest gift we can share is love at 510-992. You can talk black to us with some love and some black power this hour. Thank you for joining us tonight, 510-992. You're rumbling. You're in the middle of the jungle with the rumble. Talk black to us at 510. 510, you're there.
Yeah.
Your hands up. Go ahead and talk black to us.
My name is Bishop Henry Williams.
Yes, sir.
And I'm from Alabama. I was born in the cotton field. I was raised in the cotton field in Hedland, Alabama. Okay, but I remember Dr. King. First, I'm going to say happy birthday to Dr. Martin Luther King. Just amazing, amazing man. And I remember him so well. because
yes, sir, yes, sir.
I heard him speak in Dothan, Alabama, in front of 500 people in 1953. Okay, the blacks, and he was saying to them then, at that time he was speaking, keep your children in school, because he said 10 years from today, they can't go nowhere and get a job without a high school diploma or 2 years in college. And he went in little small towns teaching that. And he walked in the middle of the street with Bob and speak. And the white people throw rocks and eggs and everything on. He just brush them off and keep right on speaking. And the people would ride with him. He wouldn't let nobody come in the park where he was. His main thing was delivering the message that he had. That was his thing. Okay, so,
yeah.
And I was also there in 1954, the boycott in Montgomery,
yes,
Alabama, in 55. Yeah.
Well, Bishop Wales, I want you to stay right there with us, beloved, for a few minutes and comment as you will. But I want you to know we're going to come back and do a piece on Dothan. We got a long list of history on that Dothan, Alabama, and a whole lot of history we're going to cover on Dr. King. And the only question I want to ask you, why do you think, beloved, that the people across the world identified King and gave out the Nobel Peace Prize to the youngest participant ever, and we failed to see him here on the ground in America? Why do you think that, Doctor?
It's because a lot of people didn't know him. A lot of blacks didn't know him. Mm. A lot of preachers didn't even know him. Okay? And he didn't have a good following by black preachers. Okay? He wasn't supported,
yes,
like he should have been. Okay? And a lot of people,
yes,
today don't know nothing about the man. Don't read about him or nothing. When he spoke in Washington, D.C. in 1963, said spoke about emancipation proclamation. I mean,
yes,
all blacks should have been studying that even up until now, because that was the Freeman Bureau. That was emancipation proclamation for everything, for all the money gold and hold the black people, even the money from the black law library, black from the not from the black law library, but
yes,
also from the black bank. All that money is older right now from the black banks and chased after the politicians, made millions and billions of dollars off the black people's gold in the black banks.
Yes.
Then they turn around and give it to Chase Bank. Okay,
yes,
so we want
well,
that money from Chase Bank.
We're receiving you loud and clear right here at Black Power Radio. We'll be on standby. I'm going to bring up that co-host that might just have a piece of that happy birthday. Stevie Wonder ushered it. You ushered it from Alabama. Others that are online, all this king all over this thing tonight. But a king without a throne. We want to welcome to the airways to share that mic with Bishop Williams out there in Alabama. We have our National Minister of Justice is right here live with us tonight. And we're living, because we are living. We ain't surviving, but we're living here. And we're living color, and we're live on Black Power Radio. Welcome, our National Minister of Justice, Dr. Critical Truth Bay. Yes, sir, you had something before Dr. Critical comes on? Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'm in Oakland, California. Okay?
Mm.
And I've been in Oakland ever since 1957. Right here in Oakland and San Francisco. God sent a ram to get me out of Alabama in 1958.
Now, were you raised in Dothan, Alabama? Were you
I was raised in the cotton field in Helen, Alabama. That's 10 miles from Dothan. Okay.
Mm.
I was born and raised in the cotton field. But I've been through so much there and everything, and I've seen so much. Also, I'm a runaway slave from Florida. Okay.
We can tell the history in your voice. And your voice is speaking revolution. It's speaking civil rights. It's speaking to the college student that's having that difficulty making an adjustment from HBCU and going to Harvard and going to Yale. American University, Georgetown, Oakland, and Oaktown University in Southern Cal, and we understand comprehensively, brother, and you're right there with us. We got some Mo California for you. You're talking from Oakland. We got our co-host is right there in Los Angeles with you. And she just left, right? A piece on reparations, right? Come on, guys.
I've been working in reparations for 50 years. All right? I have everything from money, gold, and land. Hold the black people. I have all that information. And I've sent it out for years, 20-some years, to all the black caucus, the presidents, and everybody. There's been so many people working in reparations now. They got stuff for me. Even the governor of California, I got material that with the task force, okay? And Dr. Baker.
We went to the state right there. We should whip up Bishop, and we're going to bring live our coach. She's right there in Cali with you. And this is Dr. Critical Truth Bay, who's giving it up for reparations across the nation and got her own story on Dr. King. Now, where do you hear this, Bishop? Welcome, Dr. Truth Bay, our National Minister of Justice. Peace be unto you and power to the people. And you're live right here on Black Power Radio.
Power to the people. Let's get
yes.
All right. Happy MLK Day. Today is a day of parades, of remembrance, of candlelight vigils, of a man that probably was the most influential man in America. Well, black family, we know about the celebration of Martin Luther King today, born January 15th, 1929, and unfortunately assassinated April 4th, 1968. He was an American Baptist minister and an activist, one of the most prominent leaders of the civil rights movement from 1955 up until his assassination in 68. But what a lot of people don't know, that King was probably one of the first few pieces of royalty, again, as a monarch, without a throne or a crown to wear on his head. But he definitely fought the good fight. And it wasn't the fact that he had a dream that they killed him. It's because he's been to the mountaintop. I've Been to the Mountaintop is probably the most popular speech of Martin Luther King's heyday. It was actually the last speech delivered by Martin Luther King, Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. This speech primarily concerned the Memphis sanitation strike. So I don't know if Bishop Williams, and I'm so glad to have Bishop Williams on the line as well. Just a little bit about Bishop Henry C. Williams. He's probably working on our reparations since the last 40, 45 years in Oakland, Bay Area. And he has a wealth of knowledge, as you see. And he had a personal connection with Martin Luther King, for he met him and known him and saw intimate details of what this man had to go through just to deliver a simple message of self-determination. So, Imam, tell me, when was the last time that we've seen a prophet or a man in the capacity of king that was so influential at a time that's so important when it comes to civil rights? We know Malcolm X is definitely on the same level. But do we or will we ever see somebody in that fashion in this here today? What is your thoughts on that?
As a universal charismatic figure, as a man that was divinely sent to us by the almighty God of the worlds, he fulfills the prophecy of the rise of the black Messiah in that hour and maintains that position at this hour as the rise of the black Messiah. But he has produced 1,000, I'm teaching right now on the 10,000 live black messiahs in these cities all over since the red heifer, and Bishop knows exactly what I'm talking about, that red heifer. And the year 2023, it is the rise of the black Messiah, and there's nothing the opposition can do to delay his rising up.
Amen.
And he said, how are you going to make the black Messiah rise? We're going to agitate, mm-hmm. we're going to educate, and we're going to organize.
Mm-hmm.
And Bishop Williams is one of our greatest contributors to bringing organization to modern times, the spirit of Dr. King, the legacy of Dr. King, the fulfillment of the vision of Dr. King, because his work is not complete until we have the rise of the Black Messiah right here in 2023. And I assure you, there are 10,000 plus in all these major cities and pockets that Dr. King went from the rural to the suburbs all the way to the urban areas, and his mission has not stopped at this hour, and we're happy to be associated with you, Dr. Critical Truth Bay, and Bishop Williams, who's done a wonderful job, and we're happy to have you both here with us tonight live on Black Power Radio.
That's right. Well, we appreciate that. Shout out to the revolution. Bishop C. Williams also is working on reparations task force, so he needs to be commended. And if the city of Oakland is listening right now, we need to work on sponsoring brothers just like Bishop C. Williams when they are going solo for the fight. They're coming up on a reparations task force meeting on the 27th and 28th in San Diego. And if he's not on the line now, actually in the third hour,
yeah,
we want
to hear.
So I'm saying we do have another guest that's prolific on reparations, and we'll hear more about him next week on Power Radio. But in the third hour, we wanted to briefly have Professor Big Money Griff, who has also been a prolific fighter for reparations. So we all are going down to San Diego on the 27th and 28th on this task force, and we'll talk more about it later in the broadcast. But what I'd like to bring up in the second hour is the actual speech, and it's no more than 7 minutes long. We're only going to play the first 4 minutes of it. I want you to listen intently, Black family, to the reasons and the dialogue of this specific speech. Remember now, this was the last speech that Dr. King was ever able to speak on. And we have to listen intently as to the words he was saying. These are words right now that our national chairman has been speaking about: buying black, staying and boycotting certain products. This is what I've been to the mountaintop core talking points were about. So tonight, Black family, you're going to hear extensively on the life and times of this prolific king. But more importantly, we're going to reexamine the speech that caused white America to go into a stir to the point of plotting his assassination. And so this goes deep, brother. Not everybody, Black family, can talk and be revolutionary at the same time. But for sure, Martin Luther King was one of the most powerful civil rights leader, and it was towards the end of his life where he knew civil rights was not enough. And then comes Malcolm X, where human rights was the key. So between the two, we can't have a better messenger. But are we listening, Black family, when these messengers come to play? So we must not make the same mistake and allow the messenger to be muffled, assassinated, infiltrated. Because the same talking points I've been to the mountaintop is the same ones that we need today, and we must listen. So we wanted to get the rest of the people calling in, and then we'll prepare you for the second hour for the actual speech of I've been to the mountaintop that got this prophet killed. Power to the people. Thank you, Mom.
Yes, ma'am. We know that there's so much out. Of course, I went off the air, so you may have to restate. If you stated something directly to me, I had to cut in and cut back out to put a few people online. But go right ahead. Say what you said again.
Yeah, so wanted to get some other calls and see if Professor Griff is on the line, 310 number. We want to get him introduced, and then I'll...
Okay, let's see if we can get some Professor Griff. Is the Atlanta Griff or another Griff? Atlanta Griff. Is this Professor Griff, my Professor Griff? Professor Griff at 301. Let me go back to the 310 and pick it up. Let's see. Do we have Professor Griff at 310?
No, this is Big Money Griff.
Go ahead, Big Money Griff.
This is Big Money Griff.
This is California Griff here, right?
Yeah, this is Big Money Griff, Brother Shaky.
Come on, Big Money Griff. We have to
okay.
So we got
yes, this up.
Now, well, I want you to hold
greeting. Hotep, everybody.
My spiritual advisor. You're going to come right back to you, Mr. Griff, but I got to get my spiritual advisor to say what she's saying because her son was lost in Spartanburg. We don't want to overlook those that have been slain and they haven't gotten the proper response. And we have our queen mother. I don't know if she's live, but the queen mother, Beverly, is out there in South Carolina, and they have executed her son in the Spartanburg Detention Center. We don't want to do a drive-by on her. So, Queen Mother Beverly, are you live with your spiritual advice and a word from the son, a moment of silence for our beloved brother, Lavelle Lane, that has been slain in the detention center without the appropriate response. Is that right, Queen Mother?
That's correct. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening,
Queen
Mother.
Good evening.
Peace and blessings
to you. Hi.
Peace and blessings.
I haven't had no update, but I'm going to call the lawyer early in the morning and get something taken. Because I was supposed to get the video and everything last week, and it didn't come to fruition. So we're into another week, another day, another hour. You know, Sled hasn't did what they said they was going to do. He's still waiting, so I'm still waiting. Sled is the police investigating the police. So I'm just waiting for them to turn it over to the lawyer that we have. And he hadn't received it as a Friday. So today is a holiday. So like I said, first thing in the morning, I'm going to call. Hold on a minute, because I'm going to let my husband speak here.
Mr. Reese is there with us tonight. I'm going to tell you, Mr. Reese, we will be there with at least one strong Black Power rally in the city of Spartanburg. And likely at that detention center, wherever you direct us, is we're going to come strong to South Carolina during February. We know that's on the calendar. So, but if they ain't got it right by the time we get there, no telling what these black activists are coming strong. So go ahead, Mr. Reese, and talk black to us.
Yeah, I spoke to the lawyer, and he told me that they're supposed to get him a disc that goes inside of a laptop, and he said because it takes so many hours to view it at Sled, so he's getting the disc, and my wife is ordering a laptop, buying a laptop, because we don't, I didn't own the laptop. She always get everything down on the phone, so I see it more central that we get a laptop, and that way that we can sit in the house and view it, the whole thing ourselves without anyone being around us as far as Sled or anybody else. And then the lawyer, he's gonna get his disc, and this thing is gonna take hours because there's a lot of footage, he said. So I'm waiting for that disc, and once I get that disc, if you like to see it, Brother Oswald, you know, you welcome, you know, and Dr. Treva, if y'all like to see the video, True Faith, I will be more than welcome to show y'all video and show you what really actually went down.
Once we get it.
And that's the bottom. Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we'll get our team in there with you, Mr. Reese, and to the Queen Mother Beverly. And we want to extend our sincere and heartfelt condolences to you and the family over the loss of our beloved brother, Lavelle Lane. And know that we're there with you, and we're going to hold the line and be there with you strongly in a few days. And thank you so much, Mr.
It.
Reese, for coming to us. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all and your help. But hurt me so bad that his birthday was January 5th. And, you know, I used to get my son he used to spend the whole weekend with me. That place that he was at, Midway. And this year, man, it was kind of rough, man. My wife may even want to say, I'm going to have her phone. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Mr. Reese, and to the family. Queen Mother.
I hadn't been on in a couple of weekends. You know, I mean, some days are better than others for me. You know, I mean, sometimes I feel like talking and sometimes I don't. You know, not taking nothing from y'all. You know, and I know you're with me in spirit and in truth. But, you know, some days I just don't feel like it. I'm going to tell you the gospel truth. Some days, you know, my heart is still hurting and my heart is still in mourning, you know. I mean, because I don't know who on here. I know who on here has lost a son. But then again, I don't know how far it goes. But, you know, it's a hurt feeling as a mother, as a parent, to lose your son abruptly and unwarranted. And for no reason. You know, I say it over and over again. You know, he had mental illness and it didn't retain death. And that's what happened to him. So we're waiting on the footage. And as my husband said, as soon as I get it, you definitely will be the second after me to know. I ordered a laptop. It's supposed to come Wednesday. So once he sent over that disc, because he had said he would send somebody to Gaffney where we live to bring us a laptop, to loan us a laptop, and I said I'm gonna do better than that. I'm gonna buy my own. You know, because I had to purchase one, so I did. I never had a laptop because I have an iPhone, and an iPhone do the same thing. I had a tablet, but Andrea's in school, my youngest daughter, and she has it. So, but. We still on pause. And anything that I know different, you know, y'all will definitely be involved. I mean, like I said, yes, I'm not trying to omit y'all, but I just don't feel like talking about that. Like yesterday I was watching this program, right? This movie, and the man had this little boy. The dad was on drugs, so he was taking care of the little boy, and the ACS people came and get the little boy, took him away from him. It was Tom Hanks. And the little boy was holding his hand, then he grabbed his leg. And, you know, yesterday I just broke down. It didn't associate with Lavelle, but then again, in my mind, I said, look at this little boy. They just dragging him and trying to unleash his hands from Tom Hanks. And I called my husband, he was at work. I was boo-hoo crying. He didn't know what was wrong. And I told him I was watching this daggone movie with this little boy. And he said I was crying like somebody died. You know, that was just an incident. Some tragedy. Right. And I ain't know where that came from. But I was in here bawling by myself. And that little white little boy had nothing to do with my son. I just related it to it. You know, and like I said, you know, once I know, give you an update. Once I have an update for you, you definitely will have it. And I want everybody to pray for one another. And that's just basically what I have to say for tonight.
Well, thank you, Queen Mother. Go right ahead, Minister Justice. Power to
I definitely wanted to keep everyone up to speed for those who may not know. The situation that happened to Lavelle Najalain. So October 3rd, on a Monday, Lavelle was killed by Spartanburg Sheriff in the detention center. He was walking down the road, and Officer Evangelista decided to pull him over. And instead of administering mental health, he took him to the detention center, overdrugged him, tased him, God knows what else. That's why they're taking so long for this video footage that we asked months ago now we're close to, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're up to day 103 days.
Yes.
Since this tragedy. And so the point is this, Lavelle, and I want to stress this point out very much. At least some of the video footage before Lavelle passed away in the detention center within 5 hours. This is why you got to find out the corruption that's happening, that he was boxing the air and he was really sweating profusely. And I really believe that Lavelle had a moment with God because he knew his time in there was limited. And I want us to take that energy that Lavelle had of giving his, you know, submitting to God and really walking the life that, you know, he needed to do, for us to do that while we are living, because we are living, breathing testimonies of our loved one. And many of us have lost someone unexpectedly. But when you lose a child, there is absolutely nothing you expect from that. There's no book to tell you how to grieve. It's just not supposed to happen. But when it does, we want to continue to highlight our loved ones. So just to let you know from this personal perspective that we are going to work on specific aspects to bring justice. We can't bring him back, but definitely hold these race soldiers accountable for their apparent use of force when it comes to the melanated man or woman. So we want to dedicate, continue to pray for the Lane Reese family, and lead by example. Lead, know your purpose, and know that your children are there. They are our future. And so my condolences, and like I said, I just want to keep everyone up to speed. So we have to continue to fight and keep our babies safe. But we know without self-determination, without a governance separate, we always have to be under this racist jurisdiction. Power to the people.
Amen.
Again, power to that. So we have Bishop Williams. We have our beloved brother Griff, Big Money Griff is online. And all of those that have joined us tonight, we are thankful that you're in the studio. We have Alpha Sensei out in the Sierra Leone chapter, and many chapters all over Africa that are tuned in tonight. We have Richmond, Virginia, and others. We're just filled tonight, and I'm just happy to be here to assist the doctor. This is the concept is from Dr. Truth Bay and the Minister of Justice, the Office of the Department of Justice, the Light of the Times, with no throne, and we're going to be here. So there you go. We have it all together now, and we're rumbling. So we're going to go, I think, directly back or black to Bishop Williams, Big Money Griff, and then down to our Minister of Defense. So are we ready over there, Minister, and our Bishop that's in Oakland and via Dothan, Alabama? Talk black to us, Bishop Williams, Black Power.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm the country boy from Alabama. And I was blessed by God to a ram through that. 1956 got me out of Cartfield and brought me straight to California. And I've been wanting to drive trucks. I drove mules for a lot of years, but the truck used to run me off the road when I was a boy walking to school, 5 miles of school. I said, that's what I want to do. I want to drive trucks. And when I got to California here, 1967 in San Francisco, I started driving the 18-wheelers. God blessed me to do that. And I drove the 18-wheeler trucks for 40 years. Okay. Since I retired, I've been working in reparations for 50. But there's a lot of great things that I want to do. I want to build a Black Wall Street right here in Oakland. Because we had an Egypt right here in Oakland. Okay. A slave plantation.
If you can, Bishop Williams, because we're going to have a separate show on reparations specifically right before the 27th. So next week we're going to expand on the fight for reparations with Professor Griff. But we wanted to know your intimate details with your encounter with King, with Martin Luther King. What was the reactions as far as when he was giving his speeches? How was he treated? And what did you observe at the time?
Well, I observed a lot of things that happened, and everybody was so afraid for him because they had killed the white people had killed three civil rights workers before Martin Luther King came to the Dothan area. And that's the reason so many people, blacks, were so worried about him and afraid for his life. And especially when he started going up in the little town, walking up in the square, speaking to white people and blacks, okay? This man here, I mean, there's nobody like him on earth since Jesus left. But nobody like him on earth. He was just a brave man. He was just so brave. And people throw rocks and eggs at him and everything like that.
Wow. So they would throw rocks and eggs at him, huh?
Yeah. In my little town, Helen, they did that. In other places, Geneva, little town Geneva, which was washed off the map one time. They did a whole lot of them towns there. And he wouldn't like anybody else to come up there where he was while he was speaking. Because he didn't want no trouble. He just wanted to speak, and that was it. His message was so important. That's what he wanted to get out, his message. And I was one of the kids he was talking about, which he's only about 6-7 years older than me, staying in the fields out of school. You know, I was one of them. You know, I was one of those kids.
What year was this? Do you know? Do you remember what year?
1953 when he spoke there in Dothan. 1953. But he's a God-sent man. He wasn't afraid to do what he was doing. That's the thing. I just wish that there had been more peoples, number one, studied him and want to do some of the work that he was doing.
Right on. Bishop, I'm going to need you to repeat that very statement you just made. Can you repeat that for the black family?
Yeah, I just wish there was a lot more peoples would study him and read about him. You know, people know him. A lot of people didn't read his books and all that kind of stuff, you know. A lot of people didn't read, you know, they didn't know who he was, just seeing him on TV and listening to him sitting there speaking. I mean, you had to know some person about the man. If you read something about him, I still learn stuff about him, okay? Because I love him that much, and I still get a lot of my ideas from him. And God blessing me and strengthening me. And I get strengthened.
Amen.
But the work I'm doing in reparation, he talked about it.
That's right.
He wasn't able to do the thing that needed to be done. But that's what I'm doing. That's what I come in to do.
That's right.
You know?
Let's give yourself... carry on the torch.
And we need more help out here doing that, you know. A lot of people, like somebody said, walking dead, you know.
Right on. And with that being said, Bishop, I want to hold off to that. You said exactly what we need to hear. We need to study and study what he was saying. Listen to what he was saying while he was alive. Because unfortunately, while we honor King, we as black people were not completely on his side. And that boggles me till today.
That's true.
Yeah, keep it real. That's right. Keep it real.
Something else you said. I'm 88 years old. And
all right now, 88. Don't play.
Supported me. You know what I mean?
Yes,
when I'm
sir.
I'm going to San Diego for 3 days. You know what I mean? So if anybody out there can help support me, my caretaker going with me, because I need somebody to go with me. So if anybody out there can help support me and her going to San Diego for those 3 days, I would like for them to get in touch with you. You know what I mean?
That's right. Bishop, you want to give out your number so somebody, anybody want to call you to reach out to you and know more how they can be part of this reparation movement?
It's 510.
592-992-0338. 992-0338.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So let's say it one more time. So if anyone wants to help Bishop C. Williams, because he is leading the charge in Oakland for the reparations movement, please give a call at 510-902-0338. And he has a nonprofit organization called the Kingdom Warriors Foundation, where we work to not only bring reparations, but actual equity and policy. So it is a very, very, when we have our, I would say our elders, but when we have powerful messengers such as yourself, Bishop Williams, we got to give you your flowers now, and we want to make sure that groups and anyone can support so you can carry the torch. But you definitely have support here on Black Power Radio.
Can you please say that number one more time, please? Can you please say that number one more time?
It's 510.
Mm-hmm.
592-0338.
And what's
your
992?
Bishop
who? 992-0338. For anyone that's numerically pure at heart, let's see if we can give it one more time, because I see one guy was reaching for his pen at 510-992. 0338. Again, 510-992-0338. That is Bishop Williams. That's out on the west side, on the west coast in Oakland, moving from Oakland to San Diego, and the whole black family should send something, and we'll send some cash app out there to our Dr. Truth Bay to help that effort. For they are right on the pulse of the reparations in California, and we need to support them to get reparations nationwide. And where they owe us all over the world, but they got to start with us. They're giving reparations to the Ukraine. The Ukraine is getting billions for something that they're all those folks ought to get. Them two Vladimir, Donald Duck, Trump, Joe, some call them Joe Biden, all them Hunter. 44.2.5.40.5.46.2. All of them are together against us. Come on, Bishop, and talk to us about that. About all them being together against the melanated nation. Come on and talk black.
Billions of dollars right now handed down to black people all over America. It shouldn't have to go to court or nothing. Just directly be handed down to blacks all over America.
That's right.
Shouldn't
have
to go to court. Right on. Many other people in the other country now go to court. There's so many. All our money goes to overseas, the airports and the almonds and everything overseas, a percentage of all that money over the years belonged to black people here in America.
That's
we,
right.
We need to stand up and say
right
that.
On that. Right on. Belongs
that's
to
our
us.
Our fight. Our fight is telling the truth.
Right on. Well, Bishop, we're going to have to continue our interview because there is a lot of history that our black family needs to know about you. And we actually are putting a documentary for just a fraction of what you heard today. Man, this man been through it. And talking about a runaway slave and his granddaddy killing KKK. Oh, man. We got to give him his flowers, like I said. So we're going to have you back, Bishop Williams, on another part. As we continue with our next guest, we have Professor Big Money Griff. I hope he's still there in the house.
Yes.
Big Money Griff.
Protest, everybody. Brother Shaky.
All right.
Is this the Black Power Hour?
Come on in that house.
Yep.
The water's fine, big
yep.
brother.
All right. This is Morris Griffin, better known as Big Money Griff, the problem solver. And I'm just so grateful and thankful that I'm on with Sister Truth Bay from Watts. And the reason why I want to emphasize Truth Bay from Watts is because she's a powerful sister. You know, I've seen her when I be speaking down at the Board of Supervisors, and she be cutting them every way but loose. So for those of you who are listening to Sister Truth Bay, she's no joke. She's the truth and the light for us to see, and she chose me. So I just want to say to you all that I'm just so grateful and thankful that we're honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this day. You know, he was 39 years old when he was killed. He would be 94 years old today. But at the same time, I couldn't help but not pay my condolences to the family down there, to Queen and to Brother Reed. And I would hope that you guys request a federal investigation, because as you
that's
know
right.
when I came to California when I saw the Rodney King beating, when we all saw the Rodney King beating, the spirit told me to put that basketball down and get involved with this community, and ever since then I was involved. So I'm requesting that when you whether you get your computer, your laptop or your computer, if you get it or not, you can still go to the library and get the same work done. They have everything in the library. And then go on over there to them colleges and let them youngsters help you put it in and send it like you're supposed to do. That's what they do at Southern University over there at the colleges. All right? So that's how you do that. I'm a problem solver now. I'm 72 years old, soon to be 73. But at the same time, I want to drop it like a hot in that regard. Now, when we talk about Memphis. When we
Thank
talk
you.
About Memphis, Tennessee, you're welcome. When we talk about Memphis, Tennessee, you know that in 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King went to Memphis because of the sanitation worker. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention to you all that the reason why he went there is because the sanitation workers were being treated like dogs. I mean treated like dogs. What do you mean by
yep.
that, Big Money? I mean that these sanitation workers would have to go to work, pick up that trash, and then get on the bus and go home. And it was embarrassing. They were stinking and smelling, and some of them would feel so bad that they would have to walk home to keep from smelling up the buses and stuff. And so what I'm saying to you is that how can we be the richest country and yet we're working for poverty wages? When you look at the football, basketball, baseball game, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of seeing nothing but white folks up in them stands and none of our people up there. We've got to have our people up there too. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And all I'm saying to you is that we are at a time now in our lives where we have to demand a reparations check to the day we die. I need you to change the narrative. We deserve a reparations check to the day we die based on the economy and based on the cost of living. Now, even though we're going to get a little bit more money for the Social Security that we're going to be getting this month, I still want to see us get a check that comes to our house, to our P.O. box, or to our or to our debit, our direct deposit. But we don't need it to come to no church. We don't need to come to no SCLC. We don't need it to come to no NAACP. We don't need it to come to no nation. We don't want to divide ourselves. We want to hide ourselves from that trauma and saying that, well, I didn't get my check, and now we're dividing ourselves up. No. Bring that check to our homes to the day we die. Now we got to figure out how much, and whether or not it's going to be ongoing for the inflation of some other stuff. But we'll talk about that. Sister Bay said she's going to have me on later on. But I just want to drop it like that, drop it like it's hot on that tip right there. And there's so much more. You know, it's very important because we got some other people that's on here. But the one thing that I want to say to you all about Dr. King, Dr. King was not only a messenger, but he was the kind of man that could convince people that he spoke truth to power. And when you speak truth to power and you speak the Bible, I'm talking about the Bible. The Bible tells us that the people will perish for the lack of knowledge. And
right on.
I, Morris Griffin, would like to add one more word to that. The people will perish for the lack of knowledge, but I would like to add one more word to that, and that word is wisdom. The people will perish for the lack of knowledge and wisdom. And it's the wisdom that we combine, or that Dr. Martin Luther King combined with the Constitution of the 14th Amendment when he's talked about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, when Sister Bay is going to let you all hear his speech, I would hope that in that speech he talks about a cashier's check that came back insufficient funds. You, Brother Shaggy, are right there in Washington, D.C. And the problem that I'm having, that when I went to Washington, D.C., to the Million Man March, and I walked up into the dome in there where over 300,000 people walked through that dome, bringing kids from schools and stuff walking through there, and you look up into that ice cream cone, and you look up in that ice cream cone, and all you see is white folks and Indians shaking hands as though they was at a Thanksgiving dinner. But you don't see any blacks in cotton fields, tobacco fields, rice cream fields, sugar cane fields on one of those pillars there. And it bothered me because you know and I know that our ancestors built the White House. Benjamin Banneker was the making of the laying out the land of that. You know that, Brother Shaky. You know that. Come on now. You're right there in D.C. But that's where I want to – I just want to share that with you, and there's so much more. I could go on and on and on, but I know we got some more people to go with. But I just want to say each one teach one. So think about changing the narrative for a reparations check to the day we die. And we're going to be asking for, I'm going to be asking for $5,000 every single month to the day we die. $5,000. And one girl said, well, big money, we need $10,000. So I don't have a problem with $10,000, but we've got to strategize to get our people to realize that in spite of all past years' adversity, success can still be obtained. Each one has got to teach one. So spread the word what you heard. And there's so much more. You want me to go on? You need any more?
So that's we got you for now. You got a whole bunch in your hand. We know you, Professor Griff. We thank you so much for your input.
You know I'm fired up. Come on now. This is what I do.
That's right. This is his bag, his subject. So I want to thank you so much for being on this line. And to be honest with you, like I said, between Bishop Williams and Professor Big Money Griff, they have been around fighting this fight for at least 40 years, at least. So these are living, breathing testimonies. That's why, Black family, we have soldiers that are fighting our behalf. And so we need to honor them. We need to support them. And this reparations text, as we see, we'll talk about it more next week. And then we'll give you the update for the San Diego reparations hearing that's coming up January 27th and the 28th. Ooh, there's so much. It's coming. It's coming. We got to be ready for it. All right. So
yes,
Sister
Bay, one more thing. I just want to whet the appetite with this one. You know, back in I'll be as short and quick as I can. 2006, guys. We were in a federal court in Chicago, it was a three judicial judges, and one of them had the nerve to say that he didn't believe that we deserve reparations because it happened so long ago. But you all know
right.
that there's no statute of limitations for murder. But our lawyer at the time were so excited. Our lawyers at the time were so excited they hided it. They didn't say nothing, and I couldn't say nothing. But that's not my point. My point is this: we won a portion of reparations in that federal court of law in 2006. And what do you mean by that? We won big money. I mean we won for consumer fraud. What do you mean consumer fraud? Consumer fraud is when the Emancipation Proclamation that Abraham Lincoln put into effect in 1863, and it wasn't, and there was some in what you call in Texas, didn't realize it until 1865. But the bottom line is we got about 12 different banks and lending institutions that funded slavery after the Emancipation Proclamation, which was a violation in America when you talk about the Constitution. And because of that, they did not tell their customers that they funded slavery, and they admitted to it. They were complicit to admitting to it. And so what I'm saying to you all that are listening to the sound of my voice is that we need to go into a civil court with a civil attorney and demand punitive damages from those 12 companies. Who are those 12 companies? Well, one of the main companies that Brother Bishop Williams is talking about is the CSX Railroads. He's an expert on the railroads. That's when I came into contact with Brother Williams, you know, back in the day.
Right.
I don't know how many years it's been, but I've been knowing Brother Williams since back in the day. I've been involved. I didn't get involved with reparations until the 90s, Sister Bay, to be honest with you. I ain't been involved like Brother Williams.
Bishop Williams has been in there for more than 20 years, so that's longer than me.
But I came in the 90s. But at the same time, I want to drop that dime as to how we can move on just a portion of the reparations for consumer fraud.
Yeah.
And I got the documentation of substantiation and
that?
Verification of that information. I'm out.
Reparations, listen.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
I'm out.
We appreciate you. Now, we have somebody that said reparations. Anyone else want to chime in before we go to the actual speech?
I've been to the
Dallas. Anyone want to chime in on reparations?
Yes, go right ahead. We have Ali is out in Richmond, Virginia, and we're going to Black Lightning and to your and then your video. Go ahead. Richmond,
all
Virginia,
right.
You're live. Black Lightning.
As-salamu alaykum, Akbar Bilal.
Black Power. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa barakatuh. I just wanted to comment on Dr. Martin Luther King. He was a great man, and he has left a lot of legacy for all humankind to adhere to.
That's right.
I really can't. Everybody else before me has said so much about him. It's not much more that I can say because they knew more than I did. But, yeah, he was a great man, and that's all I really have to say.
Well, thank you for that, Richmond.
All right, and we're going straight to our National Minister of Defense is right out in the middle of all of this, and they probably have about 10 people on his line, but go ahead and talk black to us out at the Defense Department for the New Black Panther Party Self-Defense, our National Minister of Defense, our comrade and brother, Black Life and Black Power. Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power. Black Power. Black Power. Black of the Power. All right. Give honors to all that came before us and all that is coming behind us. I got to get through it quickly because we got so many people, so I'm going to jump right in. I just say that Martin, let's just call him Mike. I'll get to that. He encountered racism at 6 years old when his playmates told him that their parents told him he couldn't play with them anymore because of the segregation in the school. I'll get to that too. I'm just going to jump right into it. Let's just call him Mike for now. because Martin Luther King, born Michael King Jr. in Atlanta. His father was the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church. He was Michael King Sr. And later, and oh, let's not leave his beloved mother out, Mother Alberta Williams King, a former school teacher. His father changed his name to Martin in honor of the German religious reformer Martin Luther, and changed his name to Martin, and then later changed his son's name to Martin Luther King Jr. And at the age of 15, he studies at Morehouse College in Atlanta. Originally, he was studying medicine and law, but later decided to enter the ministry and graduated in 1948 with a bachelor's degree in sociology, and spent the next 3 years at Crozier Theological Seminary in Chester, Pennsylvania, where he learned about Mahatma Gandhi's philosophy of nonviolence, and he was elected the president of Crozier's student body, even though that student body was comprised of mostly whites. And he was valedictorian of his class also. And in 1951, he went to Boston University, where he met his wife, Coretta Scott King, and Coretta Scott at the time, and married her in 1953. And he becomes the pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. And he received a PhD in theology and from the Boston University. And in 1955, he was chosen to head the Montgomery Improvement Association, formed by the black community to lead the boycott of the segregated buses. And this is where the pedal meets the metal. After Rosa Parks refused to give up a seat to a white man. Now, isn't the man supposed to be giving his seat to a woman? You know, especially back in the days when chivalry wasn't there. So, no, it wasn't. It wasn't like that at all. And he was arrested. Rosa Parks was arrested. It was actually illegal not to give up her seat to a white man. I can't believe it. But later in 1956, the Supreme Court ruled that the segregation on buses was unconstitutional. And other activists like Baynard Rustin established the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, formed to help the locals to organize and carry out civil rights activities in the South. In 1959, he visited India so he could study on Gandhi's techniques of nonviolent protest. And in 1960, he moved his family back to his hometown of Atlanta, where he became the co-pastor of his father's church, Ebenezer Baptist, and devoted most of his time to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the civil rights movement. And he writes letters from the Birmingham jail in Alabama to end segregation at the lunch counters and hiring practices. The police turned the dogs and the fire hoses on King, and he was arrested in 1963. In August 28, 1963, the historic March on Washington, 200,000 people delivers his iconic I have a dream speech, and influences the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. October 14th, 1964 was announced the youngest Nobel Peace Prize winner in history, and March 21st to March 25th, 1965, the historic march called the Selma to Montgomery March to the state capitol to register black people to vote in that state. Twice they attempted to march on that Sunday. They call it that Bloody Sunday, March 7th, 25,000 people In a 50-mile march, it took them 5 days. It brought about the passage of the Voting Rights Act. Now, people, when they tell y'all that we ain't getting nowhere marching, tell them Martin Luther King got the Voting Rights Act in 1965 from a 50-mile march with 25,000 people. Wow. In 1966, he initiates the drive against the racial discrimination in Chicago. Hell, yes, what you just talking about. Yeah. In April 4th, 1968, at a Memphis hotel, Big Mike, a.k.a. Martin, was assassinated while supporting the strike of the sanitation workers. In 1983 in D.C., we had a big protest in D.C. With Stevie Wonder and other people. And the U.S. Congress established Martin Luther King Day as a national holiday. I want to quote Martin. See, for years now, I have heard the word wait. It rings in the ears of every Negro with piercing familiarity. This wait has almost always meant never. We must come to see with one of our distinguished jurors that justice delayed too long is justice denied. And he also said, we have waited for more than 340 years for our constitutional and God-given rights. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few poking handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. Black power. I'll land there.
As you said, he was on his way to Washington to get his check. And that's what we have to do today, is to be assured to complete the vision of the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Know that if you want to help this effort to stay on the airways, please put all that you can put, and don't give until it hurts, but give until it helps. $77Bakers. Again, it's $77Bakers. That's capital letters on BAKERS. $77Bakers on your Cash App. And call, push your donations by Western Union, by slave, by trade, by whatever means necessary to get some money and some lean green up in this black machine. As we go directly to 737, before we go to Sensei is out in Sierra Leone, Africa, and he's the head chairman there, and sitting up Gambia and Uganda and some other places. But at 737-703, you're live on Black Power Radio. 737 going once. 737-703.
Black power, sir.
Black power, all power to people that's out in Austin, Texas. I believe that's Brother Wesley Muhammad, Black Power.
Black Power. Black Power, all praise be to Allah. I thank you for this opportunity once again to our people abroad, to our people near, to our brother that spoke earlier, to our people aboard, on the committee, to my brother Mike, Dynamite, and to my sister. I just want to give all praise to Allah, and I want to speak about Martin Luther King and the reflections that we should have on our people. Allah say, love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. And so, Honorable Shrek, when I think of Martin Luther King, I think the brother said it great earlier. He said that we learn more and more about Martin Luther King the more we read on him. And I think that when we begin to reflect his attributes that he gave to life, you know, his character, his moral stamina, you know, that dictated actions. I think that's what we have to begin to grow into when we read his life. I think every year we celebrate his birthday, we should grow more in the actions that we do that reflect him. And by doing this, we keep him living and we keep the dream going. And I challenge every man today that say that, you know, Martin Luther King inspired them, then show by your actions. What have you sacrificed? How far are you willing? Are you willing to go to jail? Because it's a sad thing. See, some of us are not even willing to raise our own kids. We won't teach them that it's a dream inside them that they have a purpose, that they have a vision, and that within that dream, the next man could see a dream, that we all are reflections of a dream. The Bible says that young man shall see visions and old man shall see dreams and stuff like that. So where are the dreams today that take us on to tomorrow and beyond? And so that is my challenge unto our people abroad, that if we love Martin Luther King, let's grow into his actions in the community. Let's be active. Here in Austin, we have a high homicide rate. And I'm wondering how are our babies out there like this, and we're out there. See, we can't love our babies if we're not out there trying to save our babies on all levels of life. It don't matter what they do, they are. And it's not their problem, it's our problem. And if he was here today, our problems would be his problems. So let's reflect him in our actions in our community, and let's not live his dreams, but let's make dreams and let others make their own dreams. So all power to the people. I thank you once again for this opportunity to speak to my people and to our honorable leader, General, the honorable Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We give our praises to him. Long live Hasim, and to honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Long live Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Thank you, sir.
Black power. I got 50 y'all on the line with me, too.
You go ahead and drop it now, because we're going to come up with Alpha Sensei in a minute. So go ahead, Sister Yah and Brother Black Lightning. And we're gonna, and know we got to get back to Dr. Truth Bay on this piece to finish her video. So come on, Sister Yah.
I want to say Brother Wesley, you know, that really brought tears to my heart. Yeah. Black power.
That's right.
Black power. I'm not going to be long, but I'll be strong. I want to thank the brothers and sisters who came out on Thursday to join with us to honor Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. This has been my 22nd year nonstop. And in fact, I think I was told that I was the only one in this country for the consistency of 22 years paying tribute to Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Others have done it, but not with the consistency.
Queen, I'm saying there's somebody in the background making noise. Can you mute your mic and allow the queen so we can hear her?
There's no one in this back
okay,
of my background. There's no one here giving any noise. But nevertheless, I'm not going to take much time. I just want to thank all of those who came out and supported Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad's 22nd annual Earth Day celebration. And I've done this for 22 years. And I want to thank the New Black Panther Party, come out of Atlanta, Georgia, the MC, Minister Akbar, other security come out of New Jersey, and from other states who came out to help make this program a success. I want to thank the Brooklyn local chapter, Kalan and his people. And I want to especially thank Minister Akbar for giving me the opportunity to voice myself on the Black Power Radio again. So once again, I give thanks and praise. And February the 17th will be the resurrection of the mind and spirit of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. So the struggle continues. Peace and Black Power.
Black power.
Peace and Black power.
Black power.
That is the challenge. Black power. Black power for Sister the Empress and the Queen Mother, Yah Asantewaa of New York. And know that my challenge to everyone within the sound of my voice is to beat me, not meet me, but to beat me to Harlem on February the 17th in the honor of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Once again, we cannot let his spirit nor his name rest, because the only way we'll get peace is to do some decent freedom fighting, and that's what we're calling you to at this hour for Black Power and Black Power. And let's see if we can pull up
Black
some
power.
Nation with Brother Red on the line. I'm hoping now. and I have this picked up correctly, our beloved brother Alpha Sensei, our African chapters as well, is out there, and they're working hard in Africa for the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and the leadership of Sheikh El Imam Akbar. Our beloved brother Alpha Sensei should be close by the line. Are you there, brother Alpha?
Yes, I do. Black power.
Can everybody
Black power, black power.
First of all, I just want to say that Martin Luther King was a great man and he is my mentor. If I am strongly on this Pan-Africanism, this our revolutionary fight team, this is one of the men that motivated me a lot. You know, I love this. I love, let me just read it. And he says, yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major of peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. I just want to live a committed life behind. What does this mean? It means that we as black people, this man is saying, so this man motivated all of us. This man, this is one of the men that, you know, I can't stop loving him. You know, wherever he is, we pray that he is the God Almighty. He is in the presence of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This man motivated me a lot, Martin Luther King. And he will always reign in black people's mind because he's steadfast to see that he fights for justice for black people. He stood strongly to see that we have a right, we have black people have a right in the U.S. And that blueprint is set over there. It is what we are following today. Martin Luther King was a great man. I always admire his movement, his intention, his commitment to see that black people have freedom, to see that black people live the life he's supposed to live. You know, he's a great man. Martin Luther King, I'm here to talk about Martin Luther King, what he has done, and his motivation, and his movement, and his intention to see that, you know, black people have a great life. Yes, he has done a great work, and we are following his path, and we will make sure that accomplished. We are looking forward to you as the chairman here. You two are doing the same. That's you, Sheikh Imam Akbar. You know, when you told me about Alfred coming today, talk about Martin Luther King, I've already done a write-up. I'll be posting it today about Martin Luther King, what I know and what I've read about him. You know, he was a great man, and he will always be in black people's mind. What he has done for black people will never just go like that. We will always remember him. I admire him so much. He is my mentor. I always read about him, you know, learn so much about him, and we continue to remember him wherever he is. Yes. On that note, I am the chairman of the New Black Panther Party here in West Africa. We are doing our best. We are trying, of course, other comrades, not about me. Chairman Sheikh Imam Akbar, comrade Kirik Elsewood Bay, come with Black Lightning, I guess other comrades like I think Koran, Jani. It's been a long time I heard about Jani. I hope she's doing well. A chairman in North Carolina, Kiwan Nitti, and other comrades out there. As a chairman here, you know, we still on the oppressing side, calling on the headquarters over there, chairman for help us here. We are trying. Chairman Sheikh Imam Akbar knows that we are trying, but there is a lot we need to do more. You know, we are going through some constraints. As a chairman here, nothing is working well, but we can't give up. We can't. Yeah, Dr. Khalid said, there is no need for you to give up when you are in the front line. See that you do whatever thing necessary to accomplish black people. And we are doing our best. It's just that, you know, we're calling on each and everyone over there to do his best too, to see that the you know, what we are fighting for over there, we accomplish it. Of course, the reputation, movement to see, you know, there's a lot. I just want to stop here for now and listen to other comics. Of course, I acknowledge the princess of, it's been a while me and comedy see the childhood space speak, but I hope we will do soon. I will have to call it tomorrow. We have a lot to discuss. Something came up, so I will have to call you. Comedy City Health quickly. I hope you hear me.
Yes, sir. Call it to the people. Loud and clear.
I'm going to talk to
you. Good to hear from you.
I'm just here to speak about Martin Luther King, his achievement, his purpose, his commitment, you know, he was a great man. He was a great man. And he will always be a king in Black people. Of course, I've done a write-up. I'll be posting it this morning talking about Martin Luther King, what he has done and what he was fighting for, and he achieved it. Yes, he was a assassin, you know, but he was, and he's my mentor. And he will always be my mentor. This is one of the people that I admire so much on the movement for Black people. So
that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Power to the
black
people
power.
On that one.
Thank you. And black power to our chairman, Alfred Sensei, or Sensei there in Sierra Leone. And he has inspired chapters in Gambia under our leadership and all around the region and parts of Ghana. And we hear about him maybe even rising up in Senegal and other spots near Cameroon, influenced by this Black Panther Party. And we're just happy to be associated with our chairman, Alfred Sensei. Assalamu alaikum. And Black Power, Alfred. Black Power. To our chairman,
Black
Alfred.
Power.
Black Power. All right. So
Black
we're
Power, my brother Alfred.
Power, Black Power. As we,
can everybody mute your lines, please? If they're not speaking, please mute your lines.
That's right.
Everybody.
Put it up to everybody's self.
Got a lot of background noise going on.
Any of our hosts tonight, make sure you're muted in and out and try to get the quality sound. This is a very, very precious episode of Black Power Radio. And let's see, are there any more? Any hands go up that we missed? We're going back to Dr. Truth Bay.
I missed one thing, sir. Can
pick
I
up, pick up our brother?
I missed very short.
Brother Ty, we're going to come right to you, Black Lightning. Brother Ty is looking in South Carolina. If you had any comments on the international line, because he helped us to open, and he was one of the first out of the shoot tonight, and wanted to hear his comments from South Carolina, our state chairman in South Carolina, Brother Ty.
I feel enlightened and happy to be here today. So I'm just listening and learning, and hopefully we can expand from there. I appreciate it, Black Power.
Appreciate you, Black Power. Black Power,
right.
Strong soldier. Carrying that whole state of South Carolina, and we're going straight back to our honorable, your honor, really, the honorable Dr. Trupe. She's the judge and the 9 yards, the head of the Justice Department, the honorable Dr. Critical L. Truth Ray Bay. Talk Black.
Don't forget me.
All right. Well,
excuse
thank
me.
You so much.
One step before you, Dr. Critical. We had our brother Black Lightning had something just before, and allow him to introduce our minister.
This is
our
very
minister
quick.
Black Power.
This is very quick. This is very quick. I want everybody to play this number. There are no permanent friends or enemies. One permanent interest: divine Black revolution. And put some mean green in the Black machine at $77 Bakers. And don't forget to put on there the big Black bus for us. $77BAKERS Bakers. That's 77 Bakers. $77 Bakers, so we can get that bus for us and keep Black Power Radio on. That's all I wanted to say. Black Power.
Black Power. And now it's right in the hands of our beloved co-host here tonight, Dr. Critical L. Race Truth Bay, Black Power and Power to the People.
All right. You went all in, sir. All right. Appreciate you. Today is a remembrance of a king
like
with no throne. Martin Luther King. We all heard the speeches and the fanfare of the probably the greatest civil rights leader this side I've ever seen. But why did they kill good old Martin Luther King? It was for specifically a speech that we are going to break down for you, Black family. We are going to give you 6 points of elements throughout this speech. I will stop on certain places, and I will give commentary. But what I would like you to do, Black family, is to get your notebook. That's right. I'm going to need you to get a notepad, okay, and pen, because we're going to take some notes. Now, this 6 key elements is the ones that I want you to remember on why this speech was so dangerous. It was so dangerous because he was now shifting from the talk of kumbaya, can we all get along, I want to hold your hand, and I don't see color but the character. That was all nice and good in the beginning. But when he started crossing the territory of self-determination, Black family, that's when they had to put a stop to it. So I want us to remember, if any speech, I Have a Dream and everything else was wonderful, but I've Been to the Mountaintop is the key cry of the revolutionary by any means. It is the talking point that we need to have from this point on. So let's not waste any more time and let's get into 1968, April 3rd. I've Been to the Mountaintop. Sorry, wrong button.
This is what we have to do. Now, the other thing we'll have to do is this. Always anchor our external direct action with the power of economic withdrawal. Now, we are poor people. Individually, we are poor when you compare with white society in America.
All right, I'm going to pause right there. And I need to do a hearing audio test. Were you guys able to hear that speech? Because it is dated, we try our best to at least give you best audio. Were you able to hear the speech, Black family?
Yeah, you were loud.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sister. Very clear.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right. Thank you, Black family. Now, this key point that he just made, to organize, to conduct economic withdrawal, okay? So this is the first key of this speech that we need to take note of.
We are poor. Never stop. Forget that collectively, that means all of us together, collectively we are richer than all the nations in the world with the exception of mine. Would you ever think about that? After you leave the United States, so that Russia, Great Britain, West Germany, France, I can name others, the American Negro collective means richer.
All right, Black family, so this is the second key point that he's going into, and how relevant it is today. He's mentioning other immigrants, nations that come here and get better opportunity than the Black man of America. So Martin Luther King, he was right on point when he was mentioning that. So the second key point I want us to remember is that he was utilizing the power of group economics when he was making this point. Okay, Black family, group economics. Let's continue.
In most nations of the world, we have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That power right there, if we know how to prove.
Ha ha! That is the highlight of the speech right there. We're not even 1 minute in. But he said, did you know that? Did you know your own power? This is some powerful words, Black family. So powerful that we're going to repeat this specific clause, and I want you to remember that clause. What is your power? What is your economic power? As he mentioned at the time, $30 million was what they were worth GDP-wise. He named the countries that we spend more money than, whole countries as a collective. Now in 2023, we have about over $550 billion in financing, in spending. At the time, 1968, it was just $30 billion, so that's what he mentioned. But now, over $550 billion spending dollars, you don't know that we have the power already? That's why buying and boycotting certain products, which we're going to get later on into the speech, where he was naming names, Black family. When you name names, that's when you're on the radar. That's when you're on the radar. So let's hear that very important point one more time.
The United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That power right there, if we know how to prove. We don't have to argue with anybody. We don't have to curse and go around acting bad with our words. We don't need any bricks and bottles. We don't need any Molotov cocktails. We just need to go around to these stores and to these massive industries in our country and say, God sent us by here to say to you that you're not treating his children right.
That's right. Blackside, can we mute our mics, darling, as out of respect for Dr. Martin Luther King? We can hear you. Please. All right, so he's basically stating what we need to do as children is to boycott certain stores. And that's where it gets deep. That's where it gets deep, Black family.
Go around to these stores and to these massive industries in our country and say, God sent us by here to say to you that you're not treating his children right. And we come by here to ask you to make the first item on your agenda fair treatment where God's children are concerned. Now, if you're not prepared to do that, we do have an agenda that we must follow. And our agenda calls for withdrawing economic support from you.
All right, it's getting hot, Black family, of the speech. It says, don't argue or fight. Simply make demand and flex collective economic muscle. If that demand is not met, operate from a place of power and not submissiveness. And that is the point that he's making here as far as stopping payment to the opposition and not buying within ourselves.
So as a result of this, we're asking you tonight to go out and tell your neighbors not to buy Coca-Cola in Memphis.
Yes, you're going to go. You want to take out that water?
All right, what did he say? Don't buy Coca-Cola. Now, you know, Coca-Cola, it was a major and still is a major company to this day. So when he started naming names, that's just like Kanye stating these names in Hollywood. Now, where is Ye? Calling him crazy, calling him out of bounds. So this is what King was radical in that sense, that he made sure that certain stores of that day was put out in public. And guess what? It is some of these corporations that came together that made his ultimate demise. So let's continue.
Go by and tell them not to buy sealed breast milk.
Oh, she's gone.
What is all the bread? Wonder bread.
Oh.
Mr. Jackson has said, up to now, only the garbage men have been feeling pain. Now we must kind of redistribute the pain.
All right, Black family. So this is the fourth key on this point. Organized decisions made that require sacrifices of an individual desires for the benefit of Black people as a whole. If we could mute the line, please.
Oh.
Out of respect, can we mute the line? Thank you. All right.
I apologize.
Not a problem. The main names that he was naming, as I told you, Coca-Cola at the time and Wonder Bread, right? We use that cause Wonder Bread many, many times. So for these two corporations, and he mentioned Seal Test Milk and Hart's Bread, which are lesser companies, but he named four companies in which we spent our money with on a daily basis, and he said to boycott them. You don't think that these CEOs or these presidents of these companies was not listening to the speech? This was a live broadcast at the time. So they were able to hear it over the radio at least. So once they got wind that Martin Luther King's messaging was different than the we need to come together type stuff, that's when the table started to turn and the clock started running down. In less than 24 hours, this man was dead. So let's hear the rest of this speech.
We are choosing these companies because they have been carrying out our hiring policies. And we are choosing them because they can begin the process of saying they are going to support the needs and the rights of these men who are on track. And then they can move on town, downtown, and tell Mayor Lowe to do what is right. Only that we've got to strengthen Black institutions. I call upon you to take your money out of the bank downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We want a bank.
Woo! That was a target right there. You dare not say anything about these banks now. Now he's telling us to take our money out of the banks, Black family. You must understand that right there was something that they could not have happen. So the banks, this is the fifth key, to build economic base through investing your money into Black institutions, businesses, banks, insurance, etc., to put pressure where it really hurts in the system, in their pockets. So it's no different than the boycott certain stores as some of us do today. This is what King was expressing at a time where segregation was still at a high rate. So this speech started getting more dangerous and dangerous as it goes. Let's continue.
And movement in Memphis. Go by the Savings and Loan Association. I'm not asking you something that we don't do ourselves in SCLC. Judge Brooks and others will tell you that we have an account here in the Savings and Loan Association from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. Six or seven Black insurance companies here in the city of Memphis. Take out your insurance now. We want to have an insurance in. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a greater economic base. And at the same time, we are putting pressure where it really hurts. I ask you to follow through here. Now let me say as I move to my conclusion that we've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. Nothing would be more tragic than to stop at this point in Memphis. We've got to see it through.
heaven. God, my beloved family, is the speech that caused his demise. So on your own time, I want you to look it up. I've been to the mountaintop. I want you to read it and study it, because everything that King was saying upon the day before his death was a complete 360-degree messaging that he had for the people. Are you willing to step forth like Martin and name names? Are we willing to name the names of our oppressors? See, revolutionaries, we must have a certain spirit of no fear. No fear. We have to go into these places with authority, and there's power in numbers. So when you see your brother and sister going in the battlefield, we have our due diligence to either be with them or support them any way we can. And so today, on this day of reflection, it's not about the parades and hoopla, because immediately after the parades, we go right back to business of divisive measures. And that is what disseminates the legacy of King. But I want us to take us this time and this year to reflect on what he was really saying with this speech, "I've been to the mountaintop." See, that was the mountaintop for King at that moment where he was giving this speech at a Mason Church of God in Memphis, Tennessee. It wasn't just about the sanitation workers that they were seeking justice for. It was for everything. And so he brilliantly put together this 7-minute speech on how we need to mobilize ourselves to really accomplish self-determination. And so for that, my friends, always remember that a messenger or a revolutionary that takes the measures to name names and to really give you a blueprint, we must do diligence to follow through with it. Because many of us come after King with the same message, and we must not ignore it as we did with King. There were many of us that were not following him, yet he was saying the right thing for us to be free in 1968. So here we are in 2023, and we are in the same, if not worse, condition as the Black community. And I hope that this forth on, that we honor King with a true legacy of action, placing the plans of action of what he just said. Boycott certain stores that you know are not catering to Blacks on a different level. But then again, at the same token, we must have institutions built so that we can separate from the oppressor. So we cannot continue with our battle on the same level. So let's do something different, Black family. This is a year of return. Power to the people.
Power to the people. Power to the people, beloved. And if all of us are able, and then how many of us are willing to withdraw from the banks downtown all of your money and put it into your own banking institutions? And you have trade unions. There are many. There are numerous Black unions that are formed out of these corporations that are working longshore. How many offshore workers that can form a banking institution that are willing to organize? And all of those that are working various trades, from doctors and nurses on down into your auto trade. And especially in South Carolina, they got several auto factories. All over Michigan and in and around Detroit have these unions. There are workers that make aluminum cans for Budweiser and Schlitz and all of these different institutions and different businesses. And we could form a banking or a trading institution. They call it the Federal Credit Unions. You could have a private credit union if you just decided to pool your money and resources for yourself and do something with that money to buy, sell, and trade for, by, and with yourself. You would just be surprised how much productivity comes out of You banking with yourself. I bank at the same bank, the same banking institution, a black bank for 50 years straight. The sister that came in with me that day at the Roots Activity Learning Center, she builds a school out of the same institution. We have built multiple businesses out of the same institution. I'm saying you haven't missed a beat. One year I tested another bank, the Bank of America, and I said there was a difference of $100 from last year. And if it's only a loss of $100 that I calculated, then that's enough to buy black your freedom. But you got to want to be free from their institutions. You are in love with the family value system. Little John, if you want to know about John Fitzgerald Kennedy, then you got to know about John Jr. and Little Caroline. And if you want to know about Donald Duck Trump, you got to know about Little Nvicka and Nvicka and Little John Jr. and all of that nonsense. And ignore your family value system, your banking and economic system you have when your counter has been in the cave as a Paleolithic. He hadn't even learned to cook his meat, and you were conducting civilization, mathematics, and science. The wake-up juice is in your own history, but you refuse to look at your own history as it actually is, as opposed to looking through the rose-colored glasses of the opposition. I want to land on these things and allow you an open mic for a few minutes before we close, but we want to know we did this in the honor and the legacy of the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in the direct, in the spirit of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and in the legacy again with our beloved brother Elhaji Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X. Without those three freedom fighters, I think you're wasting your time as a revolutionary. And the Honorable Huey P. Newton all chimed in to Malcolm X. We all chime in to Dr. King and Malcolm X. It's just some of us are just too lopsided to see the forest because of the trees. I'm here with you to Sheikh Al-Imam Akbar, and you got an open mic for however many minutes you need to use it. And that's Black Power to the stage. Black Power.
Black Power
to the people.
This is Beverly Lane Reese. Speaking on Dr. Martin Luther King, my mother's brother, my Uncle Herbert Van Colton, born and raised in Petersburg, Virginia. He ran the office sect of the state of Virginia, the Southern Christian Leadership. He was the president of that sect of his organization. He wrote a book as well. I think I send it to you, Brother Akbar. And,
yes, ma'am. We've just received it. You just received it, and we're proud to receive it. Thank you so much.
Yes, I just want to say that I'm proud and honored that my mother's youngest brother, you know, he was involved in marching with Dr. Martin Luther King as well. I don't know a lot about it, but I know he was involved, and he was a freedom fighter as well. And, you know, we as a people honored about our ancestors fighting to the place we are now. We're not all that we could be, but I just thank God we are not exactly the way we used to be, with the hoses and the dogs, you know. I think we've overcome that somewhat. But, you know, it's more out in the open than it was back then, because, you know, they used to wear their little hoods back then. But now they're exposed. You know, there's so much freedom here and freedom there. You know, it's no more in the closet with them. But I'm just honored, and I just wanted to make aware that that's in my DNA too, you know. My uncle, he was a part of Martin Luther King's legacy, and I just wanted to share that. Power to the people.
Well, thank you so much, Queen Mother. I want you to know that the place you're talking, Petersburg, Virginia, I believe sincerely it is impossible for anyone to teach black history in any factual way without visiting the Petersburg, Virginia. There you have, take notes, brother and sister, on Pocahontas Island, and the Pocahontas Museum, and the Petersburg, the first of the church, the First Baptist Church is there. The Nat Turner Legacy is there. There's a house that they used to brick it in. That when there was people running from the slave catcher, they had the slave maker, the slave breaker, and then the slave catchers would be after them. And they would brick it in. They would hide so many beneath the house. And then by the time the old slave catcher broke ground, they had bricked it in and made it look like old brick. And they wouldn't search beneath the house because it was already bricked in. So he knew so much brick mason. That's how we built this nation, from slave labor, the skills and the invention of the so-called slave, of the degenerate. And the Mormons stole us, and they sold us, and they beat us into submission to fight their war with the territory of Utah, built their temple, and built their Salt Palace and their Salt Lake Temple for the Latter-day Saints, the LDS, the Mormon people, the Mormon church, built it up, and they told you wasn't fit to come in. There's some terrible things been done to us. And right now, the Mormon temple is looking down on the Capitol, the monument, the white supremacist house, and everything else you take the tidal basin and the Capitol of so-called United States. The Mormon looks down on you and calls you a fool. And he built this stuff up on slave, and the Capitol built by slaves, the white supremacy house built by slaves, the Dutton, the Longworth, the Cannon Building, the Supreme Court, Justice Library of Congress, built by slaves, and you ain't paid us a dime. And we need to go on the backside of Strong Thurmond, on the backside of no good Mitch McConnell, and all of those networked into Wooden Tooth, Ron Paul, and all of those that came from Missouri and likewise. And this no good bastard, Lindsey Graham, and this good-for-nothing Negro named Jesse James Clyburn, ain't standing up for it down. He let his counter-brother, his partner, John Conyers, going to get booted out. It didn't say one word to say the reparation. The House of Representatives, Bill 40, didn't do a thing to stand up on it. Wooden Tooth, Black Panther, Bobby Rush, down there writing some 666, some legislation about some COVID, and people going in your house telling your kids they can stand against the parent and take the COVID shot if they want to. And that's all you have to account for in 50 years. You and Charlie Rangel teamed up trying to get a rider in a bill and pass it by Sheila Jackson Lee and Dr. Al Green, people I'm trying to respect, and you just doing nothing, writing nothing for 50 years. And we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being damaged, sick and tired. I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, I'm bringing Alfred back in. I hope I can find him. Oh, mama. Okay, well, we're trying to hit a button to bring him back. But nevertheless, that's who's ringing, and I don't see it on my board any longer.
Black Paul, can I throw something in while you're looking for him?
Yeah.
That give you time to look for brother Alfred.
Okay. We're getting him back.
Black Power.
Black Power.
Well, I give you time to get Brother Alfred on, because I know them calls are hard to get.
So I'm passing the mic, but I just wanted her to know that the Queen Mother Beverly is fishing in the right rabbit hole when she talks Petersburg, Virginia, and Nat Turner's property and Harriet Tubman's property. All was barred. Frederick Douglass' property was barred by Abraham Lincoln. There is no Jim Crow anywhere. There's no Jim Crow law. Those are Andrew Johnson's law. And he killed Lincoln because he was trying to help us. Andrew Johnson put in those laws. Those are Andrew Johnson's law. And he is a crook that got to be president of the United States. And they call him Sir Veto because he vetoed nearly the entire Emancipation Proclamation. Anything talking about you getting free, he would veto it as a president.
Yes.
And y'all need to research that so you can get your mind right and get your rap tight on these subjects, my mind.
That's right.
I read that.
Black Power. I read that.
Black Lives Matter. Big Money Griff here. Can I chime in?
Talk black.
Yes,
talk you're black right. to us, Big Money Griff. We talking real tonight.
All right.
Come on,
let me drop it like it's hot now. Just because Charles Rangel and whatchamacall is our skin type don't mean he's our kin type. You heard me?
That's right.
Just because you are skin type don't mean you are kin type. And that's where you're coming from, Brother Shaky. And it's very important.
And don't mean that he got his mind right.
That's right. Come on now.
That's right.
Get into existence. And so we want to make sure that when we say slavery, that was free labor. When we talk about this free labor for over 400 years, it's important that we emphasize that we were the first best friends white folks ever had. In other words, we made this the richest, our ancestors made this the richest country in the world on free labor. And Sister Bay has a copy of the Path to Freedom. I'm one of the only ones that has a Path to Freedom. If you didn't have a Path to Freedom, you had to go back to the slave plantation. And Sister Bay is one of the ones that has a souvenir that shows a Path to Freedom. I'll be handing them out again at the reparations meeting on the 27th and 28th, you know. But at the same time, I wanted to drop that dime, and there's so much more. But I love listening to you guys. But I like to chime in and, you know, drop a few lugs and back on out and get somebody else. Because I'm learning, too. Even though I'm 72, I'm learning, too. You know what I'm saying? All right.
Power to the people. Right on. And so for that
stupid, did you have that tune? You had the tune by Stevie Wonder, the born, I call it Born Day tune. You got that?
Oh, yeah. Stevie Wonder, Always. You got to put in Always. And, you know, the sister that says, I can't breathe. That sister that sings, I can't breathe. Oh, my God. That brings tears to my eyes. And Wake Up Everybody, No More Sleeping in Bed. That's another good one. So I would ask that we chime in on them as part of our legacy. And, yes, I'm here right here in Inglewood, California, right in Inglewood where Stevie Wonder Station is. And, of course, we have Stevie has a radio station, KJLH 102.3, that I listen to Monday through Sunday, you know. So I just want y'all to know that I get firsthand info on Stevie, and he comes on the radio sometimes and drops it like it's hot. But you got to understand, guys, people who have money don't want to see us black folks have no money. It's just that simple. That's why we are as far behind as we are today. I hear them every day. Oh, we're going to get reparations, but reparations ain't about no check. Reparations is anything that will make you whole. What will make you whole? I don't need no education. I'm already educated. Y'all can hear that through my voice. I'm healthy as a wimp. I didn't take no vaccination, even though, and the only reason why I didn't take a vaccination, don't get me wrong now, those of you who did take a vaccination, that's on you, and I don't have a problem with that. But I just want you to know that I didn't take the vaccination because I don't have no wife. I don't have no children. I don't have no aunts and uncles and nothing to live this. It's just me, myself, and I. And so I'm healthy as a specimen. I'm still balling. And even though I'm still balling, you know, there's somebody that has to come and stop a baller. You know, you got to take a charge. Even all ballers have to, when you're driving down the court, somebody's going to step in your way and take a charge. Well, that's what y'all do. Y'all take charge and take the mantle when I pass it on to you. When I get finished here, take charge and do your thing. But at the same time, I'm still balling. I'm a brother like no other from another mother. I was born in Newark, New Jersey, raised in Inglewood, New Jersey by my grandmother, but I'm a L.A. brother now. I've been in L.A. now ever since I had my tryout with the Los Angeles Lakers and the Seattle Supersonics and the Portland Trailblazers. I'm West Coast. I'm West Coast. But I'm bringing it to the East Coast and to through the South. So y'all spread the word, what you heard. You heard from Big Money Griff, the problem solver. And there's so much more. But I'll just stop right there because I don't want to give y'all too much. I'll put some food on, put some meat on the bone. But at the same time, putting meat on the bone, you know, we gotta spread the word, what you heard. Let me stop right there, Sister Bay. Bay, stop me now. Stop me.
You just three folks, you know. Holy shit. You don't come on, pop out. Take it easy.
Black Paul, can I drop one before you go?
Through the bottom of the net. Go through the bottom of the net.
Oh, well, the bottom of the deck, that must be me. Can I drop one before we go?
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like
it's hot. Okay, real quick. I ain't going to waste no time. Everybody mute their lines because you're going to hear this one.
Check it out. I'm starting to be four times there. What was the philosophy of the civil rights movement as you saw it then, more than 10 years ago?
Well, I would say then the philosophy was that we must go all out to use legal and non-violent methods to gain full citizenship rights for the Negro people of our country. And of course, that particular struggle and that philosophy centered on breaking down all of the barriers of legal segregation. So I would say that in that period, the basic thrust for the gaining of citizenship rights for Negroes was to end the humiliation surrounding the whole system of legal segregation. Dr. King, was there something peculiar to the place where you started and the kind of people you attracted? I mean by that, there was a strong attachment on the part of the parishioners in Montgomery to the church. They were older people, weren't they?
Yes, I would say by and large there were older people who participated in the boycott because they were the ones using the bus more than anybody else. And Montgomery was a community predominantly church-centered, so that it was very easy to get to the vast majority of Negroes because they were in some way connected with a church in the community.
Was it, in addition to your commitment to the idea of nonviolence, wasn't it also the only thing you could do, the white community having the monopoly on violence, that if you had tried violence, they would have met it with violence? It was the only device open to you, wasn't it?
Well, I'll put it another way, that morally, I was led to nonviolence because I felt that it was the best moral way to deal with the problem. We were seeking to establish a just society. And it was my feeling then, and it is my feeling now, that violence is certainly much more socially destructive, and it creates many more social problems than it solves. So I was led to nonviolence for deep moral reasons. Now, there is no doubt about the fact that in our struggle in Montgomery and all over the United States for that matter, nonviolence is also practically sound. It would just be impractical for the Negro to turn to violence. He has neither the instruments nor the techniques of violence. We are about 10 or 11% of the total population of the nation, and I would say we are about 0.1% of the firepower. So it would just be totally impractical and unwise and unrealistic for the Negro to think of violence. Well, I saw this in the beginning in Montgomery, but this wasn't the basic reason that I turned to nonviolence and that I believed in it as a philosophy. I turned to it because I felt that it was the morally excellent way to deal with the problem of racial injustice in our country.
Is there something about nonviolence that made it, and I used that in the past tense, that made it more useful among Southern Negroes than the ghetto Negroes of the North?
I would say that anything that makes it more useful to Southern Negroes, I think it is true that we've had more nonviolent movements in the South because the problem for many years was more crystallized and, in a sense, more visible in the South. We didn't have many civil rights activities on a massive scale in the North until 3 or 4 years ago. So I would say that we just haven't had a chance to experiment on a broad scale with nonviolence in the Northern Ghetto. I have the feeling that nonviolence is as applicable and workable in the Northern Ghetto as it is in the South. Now, there's a larger job there. The frustrations at points are much deeper. The bitterness is deeper. And I think that's because in the South, we can see pockets of progress here and there. We've really made some strides that are very visible, and every Southern Negro knows that he can do things today that he couldn't do 4 or 5 years ago. Where I'm in the North, the Negro sees only retrogress, and he doesn't find it as easy to get his vision centered on his target, the target of opposition, as he does in the South. Consequently, this is made for despair, at many points cynicism, a feeling that you can't win. And it simply means that we've got to develop in the North a massive job of organization and mobilizing forces and resources to deal with the problem in the urban ghettos of the North, just as we've done it in the South.
In the South, particularly in Alabama, you had visible villains, Jim Clark, Bull Connor, cattle prods, police dogs. But in the North, you don't have those visible villains. Isn't it hard to get the people aroused and directed at something that isn't visible?
Well, that's exactly right, and this is what I was saying when I said it's harder to see a target. In the South, in the nonviolent movement, we were aided always, on the whole, by the brutality of our opponent. It isn't the same way in the North. The other thing is that you don't have legal segregation in the North as you do in the South. So it is much more difficult to get people to see exactly what you're doing, but it is an impossible job. It's a hard, it's a tedious job at times to get people to be aroused from their apathetic slumbers, but I still feel that Negroes in the North can be motivated just as they were motivated in the South. And I think as time goes on, with the growing economic deprivation in the Negro community, it will even be easier because people will come to see that not only is something wrong in general, but something is wrong in particular in their own economic and housing situations.
Well, what is it? I mean, how do you find it? It's very subtle in the North, is it not?
It's subtle, but it's becoming much more visible. Anybody can see that the schools are more segregated in the North today than they were in 1954 when the Supreme Court made its decision declaring segregation unconstitutional. Anybody can look around the ghetto and see that ghetto schools are predominantly segregated and devoid of quality. Anyone who moves through a major ghetto of our country will see the housing conditions. People don't have to be reminded that they are forced to live in slums in many instances, and they're often rat-infested, burn-filled slums. And it isn't too hard to see the exploitation that the Negro confronts in the ghetto, where he is forced to pay more for less and constantly trying to make ends meet, but because of either no job as a result of unemployment or a job that is so economically unprofitable that the person can make ends meet. And I think they see all of these things, and more they're coming to see them. Because before, the people of the North were looking to the South, and they supported the struggle of the South. Now they're coming to see that their problems are very real, and they've got organized to grapple with them.
Was there something hypocritical about the fact that the South existed and the North could point the finger? And then when the Civil Rights Acts were passed in the early 60s, you couldn't point the finger anymore?
Well, there's no doubt about the hypocrisy of large segments of the nation on the whole question of racial equality. I think the best example is that many of the senators from the North and the West and congressmen generally who voted for civil rights legislation in 64 and even in 65 in the Voting Rights Bill refused last year to vote for civil rights legislation because it dealt with an issue applicable to the North, the whole housing question. And this, it seems to me, was the greatest expression of the hypocrisy of many of our citizens and many of the senators and congressmen of the North.
But isn't that part of the dilemma now? The people knew that Negroes were being denied what was guaranteed to them by the Constitution, by the fact that they were citizens of this country. Then when they were given those rights, the white community said, well, we've given them all that we have. Now it's up to them.
Well, I think the dilemma is much deeper. And I think one during this period of transition has to be very honest with America. And honesty impels me to admit that America has broad racist elements still alive. Racism is still existing in American society in many areas of the society, North and South. And the other thing is that there has never been a single, solid, determined commitment of large segments of white America on the whole question of racial equality. I think we have to see that vacillation has always existed and difference has always existed, and this to me is the so-called white backlash. It's merely a new name for an old phenomenon. I see the white backlash as a continuation of the same ambivalence and vacillation of white America and the whole question of racial justice that has existed since the founding of our nation. I think the other thing that we must see at this time is that many of the people who supported us in Selma, in Birmingham, were really outraged about the extremist behavior toward Negroes. But they were not at that moment, and they are not now, committed to genuine equality for Negroes. It's much easier to integrate a lunch counter than it is to guarantee an annual income, for instance, to get rid of poverty for Negroes and all poor people. It's much easier to integrate a bus than it is to make genuine integration a reality and quality education a reality in our schools. It's much easier to integrate even a public park than it is to get rid of slums. And I think we are in a new era, a new phase of the struggle, where we have moved from a struggle of decency, which characterized our struggle for 10 or 12 years, to a struggle for genuine equality. And this is where we are getting the resistance, because there was never any intention to go this far. People were reacting to Bull Connor and to Jim Crow rather than acting in good faith for the realization of genuine equality.
Do you think white people in this country, and I'm talking about non-segregationists, people devoid of thinking, they're devoid of racism, do you have any idea of what they want the Negro to be in America?
Well, it depends on the level that we are talking here, because I think you have to make a distinction between the people who are genuinely and absolutely committed in the white community on the question of racial equality. I must confess that I think they have a very small minority. I think the vast majority of white Americans would go but so far. It's a kind of installment plan for equality. And they're always looking for an excuse to go but so far.
Why are they looking for the excuse? What is it about the Negro? I mean, every other group that came as an immigrant, somehow. Not easily, but somehow got around it. Is it just the fact that Negroes are black?
That's a part of it. And growing, that grows out of something else. You can't dignify anything without depersonalizing that something. If you use something as a means to an end, at that moment you make it a thing and you depersonalize it. The fact is that the Negro was a slave in this country for 244 years. That act, that was a willful thing that was done. The Negro was brought here in chains, treated in very inhuman fashion, and this led to the thingification of the Negro. So he was not looked upon as a person. He was not looked upon as a human being of the same status and worth as other human beings. And the other thing is that human beings cannot continue to do wrong without eventually rationalizing that wrong. So slavery was justified morally, biologically, theoretically, scientifically, everything else. And it seems to me that white America must see that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. That is one thing that other immigrant groups haven't had to face. The other thing is that the color became a stigma. American society made the Negro's color a stigma. And that can never be overlooked. So I think these things are absolutely necessary. The other thing is that America freed the slaves in 1863 through the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, but gave the slaves no land or nothing in reality, and as a matter of fact, to get started on. At the same time, America was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that there was a willingness to give the white peasants from Europe an economic base, and yet it refused to.
So at that, we want to try to get you to intervene because too much of a long spot, and we're looking for our beloved brother, Black Lightning, to chime in because to leave an audience, you got an international audience here.
Yes,
we wanted
sir.
You
yes,
to chime
sir. Black
in at some point.
All right.
Yeah.
I just wanted him to get to the point where he was saying, I've integrated my people into a burning house. Black power. I say it for him.
All right, Black power. So, therefore, I mean, it give you no land. There's nothing that you can build on. But by integrating into a burning house, he again began to get the wake-up juice. See, the second, see, there's Old Testament, Dr. Martin Luther King. But there's also live, a New Testament, Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. As you say, Mike King, or however you want to look at him. The wake-up juice came. But immediately when he began to implement the idealism of his new mindset, the idea of taking that money out of that bank and putting it in your own bank, the idea is to leave their culture and spiritualism for your own and to turn towards Africa for our resource as opposed to turning to Italy or to London and the Portuguese for their resource. That's when he was immediately assassinated upon bringing up the garbage strike in Memphis, and the garbage workers were there gathered. As he was successful in the bus and train in the boycott, the Montgomery boycott was successful in that we can provide our own food, clothing, shelter, and transportation for self. Is whose street is our
That's right.
street? Whose land? This is our land, and we learned to turn our land back over to our people. And that was the process. That was he had begun to implement that process, and that's when he was executed. But on that strength, I want to turn the mic back over to you, brother, and you should have got it closer to him there in the burning house, but you need to drop it like it's hot and pass that mic.
Oh, don't let Big Money back on, man.
Black Power, that's right.
Oh, boy.
All right. Now,
I knew that was a speech. I just didn't know it was all the way to the end. Sorry about that, y'all. It was good to hear Big Brother Mike's voice. I didn't know we had the same name, Black Power.
No, it's Big Money, Big Money Griff.
No, I'm talking about Big Mike Martin Luther King, born
okay,
Michael
yeah,
King.
Martin Luther King. Well, you know,
yeah,
you know that
Mike.
You know that every single riot that we've ever had in America was caused by the police. Every riot that was caused by the police. And those of you who live in New York
we know that there is a George Santos who was the congressperson who lied every way, shape, form, and fashion in saying that he was all that in a bag of chips in Nassau, New York. And, you know, we had a song called Nassau's Got Soul. I would hope that our activists would go in front of that office and let them know that a wrong against them people is a wrong against us, and that we are here to let you know that this George Santos has got to go. It's just that simple.
Right.
And so that's where that's at in terms. Of course, you know, Donald Trump's mega crowd is nothing but the Ku Klux Klan. And you all know, listening to the sound of my voice, like the sister was saying, back in the day, they would hose us, put them dogs on us. But now they're in the White House. They're in the White House, y'all. And now we got to fight against them in every way, shape, form, and fashion. We talk about abortion. We talk about voters' rights. They want to keep us from voting. And now you want to try to do something to circumvent all these Mexicans or all these Latinos from voting now that they done let them in. The man done let them in and let them move ahead of us. And all we got to do is make sure that we're in strategic positions to be able to take complaints about their attitude and behavior when they try to do the same thing that Charles Rangel and Brother Whatchamacall did. Just because they are skin tight don't mean they are kin tight. I said enough. Sister Bay, you got to hold me back now.
No, man. Hey. When you got it in, you got to let it out. Our youngins, they need to hear from you.
All right.
It's a real talk, real history. So we got to continue to fight, but forums like this is very important for us to disseminate this type of information and never, ever, ever forget where we came from. So it's very powerful to remember King, but it's even more powerful to do what he did. And that's what we carry the torch as we move forward. Panthers and all, we're here for the struggle. As he said, we're going to constantly be in the struggle, but we got to be effective and strategic. As Big Money Griff stated, we got to be strategic on how we move. And so that really was the message for today. So let's do what we can, people. Let's listen to our messengers. Let's uphold them, support them, and fight side by side, because there's power in numbers. Power to the people. Power to the
people. Power to the people.
Power to the people.
Anybody else that has a yearning to crack the mic and drop it like it's hot, that floor and mic is open to anyone that we missed or any point that you may have forgotten during this dialogue. And I know that there are other days that we will do this. We wanted you to get all your points in that you may have that pressing issue. You can drop it. The mic is still open.
Come on, get in there. I'm sorry. I mean to interrupt you, Elder. But our Sheikh Imam Akbar, our national chairman. You are a drum major for Divine Black Revolution. Black power.
Black power. Black lives matter.
Certainly does. This is Beverly.
I am a black revolutionary.
I am a black revolutionary.
You can kill a revolutionary.
Now, Queen Mother Beverly, you was about to go.
Declare, kill the black revolution. You can kill a black revolutionary, but you can never kill the black revolution, for it is footprints are in divine black revolution from the originator of the heavens and the earth, that we be free from all forms of enslavement. And we must go to emancipate and liberate our people from all forms of enslavement. Because that's what I was born to do, for
from the cradle to the grave, to give this opposition a nightmare and to free us from all forms of enslavement and emancipate us from all forms of psychological and physical slavery. And I hope that
that's right.
You will do the same in your thrust for divine black revolution as the only solution.
That's why
that we
that's
know
why,
ever
that's
been
why I'm a link in this chain and it will never be broken
the
by
opposition
me.
Is revolution. Revolution.
That's right. And that's why I'm a link in this chain and it will never be broken by me.
All right, man.
Great talk. Great enthusiasm. Go ahead.
Now, Queen Mother Beverly, I believe, had the floor.
Yes, on the 23rd, as you all know about the Bell's death, October the 3rd. The 23rd, they have the county council meeting.
All right.
And by hell of hot water, Andrea and myself and my husband will be there. You know, every third Monday they have a county council meeting. So Monday coming, we'll be there at 5 p.m. And,
right on.
Excuse me. My old back is hurting. I was getting up. And it's on, I believe it's on YouTube. And it could be viewed. So I'm going to let them know. Hopefully by then. Because tomorrow, like I said, I'm going to call the Christopher Pratt, which is the lawyer. I'm going to call and see what happened to the footage and all that video stuff of my son. And regardless of whether they give it to me or not, I'm going to the county council meeting. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going away, as I always say. You know, you got to be in it to win it. And I know in the end, the conclusion is going to be victorious for my son. I can't let his name go down in vain. You know what I mean? So, and next month in February, from Albany, New York, the black abolitionists, they're young people. They're in their 20s and 30s. You know, they've been with me beside the Black Panthers, and they want to come and protest in front of protests, the flyers, you know, because it can't be ignored about the bell. And they're going to come, like they told me, the 19, 20, 21, and 22. I think they want to come down here for 2 or 3 days and put up flyers on trees and on poles and go to Spartanburg, Spartanburg Detention Center. I'll know more as we go. You know, I was talking to them last week, and they're waiting for them to release the footage as well. It's 5. They're young folks, and they want to come down here and, you know, do their activism and, you know, let it, you know, just keep the momentum going. But as I get more information, I'll bring it to the broadcast. And I just wanted to let that know, throw that out there.
We'll try to alert all of our officials to be there and supportive or an active role as necessary.
Right.
So, yeah, if you want to know the location of the Spartanburg County Council, it's at 366 North Church Street. 366 North Church Street. So if you want to attend the council. And Queen Mother, do you know if there is a way that we can call in, even though they show it live on YouTube?
I don't believe so. I've never seen someone call in taking calls as the meeting goes on.
I see.
I've never seen
Okay.
that. You know, you have to go. You have to call ahead and put your name down, and then they have to put you on the agenda.
All right. So we'll see how many days before. I'll check that out. They should have virtual, hybrid meeting, call in and personal, like they do.
Yeah.
All right. All right. 366 North Church Street. Support the family and continue to fight.
All Yeah, that's what I wanted to tell y'all before we close up the line.
Thank you, Queen Mother, and members. Don't give up the fight. We're here fighting with you, and again, we're in a supportive role, and we'll take the lead as necessary, but we're trying to get all the facts into the camp, into the Lane and Reese family, to get all the facts that they can gather before we let loose the Panther full force out there on the front line, because we got things that we can't take back
process.
What you're doing.
Yeah, it's just a slow process. I know life is not microwave, you know what I mean? As I heard the gentleman say, he was from Jersey, but he's now from the West Coast, you know, because that's where he resided. That's like me. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, even though I reside in South Carolina. You know, I'm in South Carolina. But, you know, they took me out of Brooklyn, but they ain't took the Brooklyn out of me, you know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. We just left Brooklyn.
I'm in for the long haul. I'm in for the long haul.
Okay.
And I'm
too needy not to hear you, girl.
That's it.
You hear me? You heard me?
What'd you say?
I'm too needy not to hear you.
Yeah, I know that's right.
All right.
He's
and to God be the glory. And to God be the glory. The struggle. The struggle continues, and to God be the glory.
Yes, yes. Without him, we wouldn't be nothing. We nothing but filthy rags
anyway.
Right. So, you know. Keep hope alive. The only thing I can say.
So we'll be there with the activists, and we hope that we will get to the right type of conclusion. If not, all hell is going to break loose in Spartanburg. I want to show you that. If we don't get the right answers, the right, and you give me your time constraints, and then we're coming in. That's for sure. We got our Panthers on standby and see what the next message is. We want you to get all your facts straight, and then we'll move on it.
Exactly.
We thank everyone.
Like I say, as soon as they give us this death, y'all will get yours.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And we appreciate y'all. And y'all have been patient as well, because many that would have went out there and busted. If it had not been the Queen Mother Beverly and Mr. Reese, any other family, I know it would have been some emotions. It would have been some things spilling over. And there would have been some real conflict of interest things going down with a war at City Hall. And they've been very, very patient with the system. So when they come to the no-holds-bar, that they can
very
make
patient.
No excuse. Because they put you all in every way they could, and have deceived us, and done some lines, some little white lily lies that came through, and we're gonna do a drive by on all of that, and then when we get to you in the huddle, and then we know what instructions come from you, and that's the ones we're gonna carry out. And we thank
Amen.
You all again for this Dr. Martin Luther King Day has been exciting, it's been informative. And we hope that you continue, because there's so much more information that we don't know about the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I have led 57 tours to the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. exhibit here in Washington, D.C. And every time we've learned something different, learned more and more and more about King, because the wisdom is such a high level. The people haven't even received him and his family value system. They haven't come to know the real heart of the Honorable Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and what he had in store for us and what he was trying to bring his leadership to carry out his vision and his idealism. They have yet to put in place the vision of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I busted the Klan. I took some of the locals and some other folk out visiting the King exhibit 3 a.m. in the morning after they left the club, and found a Ku Klux Klan down there. Steady in Martin Luther King, see how they could use his strategy and put their and implement their idealism. And the Indonesian gay woman and the gay boy from Finland and all of them have used it to get a minority contract, got the blood of King, the blood of Martin Luther King, the blood of Malcolm X, the blood of Khalid Muhammad, the blood of Honorable Marion Barrett Mayer. All of them got that blood on that minority contract. Is a black contract.
by law. You allow them to take our legacy and steal our idealism, steal our breakfast program, steal the WIC program, and steal everything from the black Panther, the black Muslim, the black civil rights leader. And the only one going to stop you, they can do no more to you than what President Douglas said and what you allow them to do to you. And you got to stop allowing the opposition to step on your legacy and your dignity and your self-respect. So Adam Clayton Powell can tell you how to go and get black and take black your integrity from a no-good, low-down, filthy white man. And I'm going to land on that and hope that you all got something from the NICE program. We'll give you more of what you listen to radio for. We have the most informative radio talk show on the Internet here at Black Power Radio. And I hope that you all have enjoyed this episode. And until next week on Sunday at 8 p.m., we'll be black. Again,
yeah, I want to do an announcement.
Go ahead and do all of them. Drop it like it's hot.
Yes, so we definitely want you to join us next week as we discuss what we'll be talking for the Reparations Task Force meeting. That'll be in San Diego, January 27th and 28th, and it'll be at 5250 55th Street in San Diego. That's right at the University of California, San Diego. San Diego University, my bad. So we will keep you updated on the report back from that, but definitely we need you to follow, and we will keep a close eye on the California Reparations Task Force. These nine members cannot make the final decisions on what we need as reparations. It has to come from us. And so that is what Bishop Williams, I don't know if he's still on the line, but Bishop Williams, Big Money Griff, and yours truly will be there live and direct. And if there's any Panthers that are in San Diego that are listening to this, we need you to be there live and direct. It is a free hearing, and we need to come out in numbers. So hopefully in the next 6 months, we'll be able to draw a close to this task force, which is only 2.5 years that they've given to discuss what they need to give us. But we know that's not their final answer. We have to make the call. All right, so I want to thank you so much for joining us on Black Power Radio. And keep in tune, because this is the only place that you'll get certain information, and you won't get it anywhere else. So this is yours truly, Minister Justice Truffet, out in the West Side, which is not really the best side, but it is a side of the moon. Until now, may God bless you guys, and keep your feet grounded. Keep your eyes open, and keep the revolutionary black. Power to the people.
There you go.
Power to the people. Thank
you. Are you able to say something?
Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I'm so happy to be part of the program today to honor the life of our great man, Martin Luther King. You know, we'll continue to remember him as always. He was a great man. We will, as the power says, the same goes, we will continue to give praises to our ancestors who laid a great foundation for us to walk through as we are doing it today. Thank you so much, Chairman Shekinah Makbar. You are doing so great. And our Minister of Justice, Dr. Kredik Helzgutbey, you know we have to speak after the program tonight. I will call you for us to discuss more on what is going on, what is on the ground. So as we are saying, Chairman, I expect you to say something concerning what we discussed yesterday. I really want you to. Black power.
Black power, black power. And we are, again, reaching out to our brothers and sisters in Sierra Leone. Again, we have to announce the fact that we are teamed up with the HHF, the hip-hop fraternity, and Dr. Ken Ivey of Atlanta, and they're helping with chapters that are coming new. Many are on board with us here at the New Black Panther Party. Anything you can do to help Sierra Leone, you can still send it to $77Bakers and put Sierra Leone on it, or put Chairman Alfred on it, and we'll see that he will get funds that helps him, because he has a situation there in Sierra Leone. And he constantly needs some form of assistance,
some form of backup help that we can provide. We seem to have such an abundance of things flowing here in the United States, and some call the United States. But most of the time, we have a little more that we can share. And when you have that, just please write it right into your Cash App for Sierra Leone or to Chairman Alfred, and we'll be sure that he gets whatever you'd like to send to help him. We're an international network, but we are not rich. We get no support, no help from the U.S. government, no support, no help from any corporate business. All that comes into the New Black Panther Party for self-defense is from you, from we the people, from you the individual, and we're trying to bring businesses on board to begin to advertise. The Black Lightning and Sister Truth Bay are heading up that network to begin to advertise in 23. So let's get our antennas up and let's do our outreach, because no institution, no organization, no state, no government is any better than its ability to do effective community outreach. And we'll land on that and hope that you will begin to participate in your own Black Revolution, and I'll land on it. Peace and power to we the people, as we bring a Queen Mother, anyone that she would appoint, to give us a closing word of spiritual advice for the evening. Thank you for joining us here at Black Power Radio. Again, our telephone number, you're going to reach out at 515-605-9889. Again, for all of you who are numerically pure at heart, at 515-605-9889, as we turn to our spiritual advisor, our comrade, and our Queen Mother, Sister Beverly. Peace be unto you.
Peace be unto each and every one of us. Bless our families, dear and far. Let's unite together. Today is Martin Luther King's. Well, yesterday was his birthday. Are we acknowledging it today? I got a little something that I found. I want to read it. It's about love. Well, that's what he was about. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. And with that in closing, let's keep one another in prayer. Amen, amen. Let's keep each other in prayer. Mm-hmm. Pray for our strength. Pray for our guidance. Pray for our wisdom, and just pray for one another each and every day. And then with that, have a blessed evening and a blessed rest of your week.
Amen.
Right on.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Queen Mother.
Amen, Ra.
We love you, too.
Amen, Ra. Thank you.
Love your father, love your sister, love your brother, love your brother. Sweet love, right in the nick of time, found love. Well, trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act well. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Bias, prejudice, and bigotry in the standards
and racial profiling and willfulness to terrorize our community and do psychological damage to our children every day and destroy our culture with their commercials and their exploitation of their TV programs. They facilitate tyranny. They have developed the standard of what they call terrorist actions. And so if you don't develop an economic program and promote it, if you don't organize your race with a political program and promote it, and if you don't get the conscious level to understand this hostile enemy is not turning back, and you try to promote racial harmony, you're out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn mind. You can't even do it on Sunday when everybody's supposed to be praying. It is time for an African revolution. It is time for an African revolution. Any people with dignity and respect would have a revolution of economics. The fundamental purpose of revolution means complete constructive change. We need complete constructive change. We are not just Africans in America, we are Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism means you understand that right across the water, nationwide, this world is full of people who look like you, from Brazil to Jamaica to Haiti to all of the Caribbean islands and the 54 nations of Africa and Hawaii and everywhere you look, you are. But you had not developed the technique to see yourself because you don't want to talk revolution. Because you don't want change, which is the solution. You want to concept with your soft heart, or can we all get along? You still listening to Rodney King. No, you can't have a commitment to develop your enemy army against you, your enemy police department against you, your enemy courtrooms against you. That's not an effective revolution. Your children must be trained leadership from birth to control their own, to achieve their own goals, to understand nationhood and a higher ideal of what nationhood is from their own standards that you're committed to develop. We're a dynamic people, but we have helped every race of people self ourselves. Right now, if you walk out your damn house, you're going to get some gas from a foreigner gas station. You're going to buy some Chinese food from a Chinese. You're going to take your cleaning, which you've been washing white folks people clothes all your life, to another race of people to wash your clothes who don't live in your community and don't love your children, and you're going to help improve their children's lifestyle. We got children graduating right now from all the colleges and institutions around this country and come back and have to work at Walmart because we ain't developed the corporations. We ain't opened these old buildings up. We studied been trying to buy a damn Ferrari, Porsche, and a Rolls Royce, a big house. And our kids come back from college like Carter D. Woodson put in the Miseducation of the Negro with nowhere to go but to a white man to ask them for a job, which means that damn degree and that education don't mean nothing because that white man is going to hire his daughter, his nephew, his son, and after that he's going to hire his people. Ain't nothing all right until black men and black women, Africans, participate responsibly in doing something for self. And if you're going to start talking economics, you got to talk about building a group to defend it. It ain't a white man that build a bank and don't have a guard at the door. It ain't a white man that build a mansion and don't put cameras on it first. It ain't a white man that build a nation and don't develop a defensive mechanism to keep people from taking what you build. Stop being scared of building a black army that could protect your community. And in, when it's time for self-defense, carry out their duties in self-defense with the logic of saving their mother, father, sister, cousin, auntie, and their community. We need to be baptized in economics, baptized in culture, baptized in a new political mindset with the logic of doing for self. You better act as the Jewish race to be aware of who you are, and constitute and build a constitution and develop a mindset that you don't need your enemy for you to reach your goal. The COINTELPRO said their job was to neutralize the rise of a black messiah and to neutralize black organizations from organizing and participating and working together to
injustice the FBI did along. Give me the right to get on this phone tonight and teach respect to this group of people that have been so beat up, so lynched, so murdered, so raped. The determination for us not to fall any deeper into a coma is a blessing. And this is a period in a time where we don't have to take back door, apologize to nobody for our focus. You better get on the advanced liberation team and develop the mindset of self-help and start identifying yourself as an African and understand clearly that's all you need. And when you get to this crossroad, don't go right, don't go left, go straight. You got the right after all the hell you done took for 450 years to organize and discover the power in yourself. You are an empire in an empire.